This is a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people.
Funny because Johnny's saying like there's a mum in the story, and when Travis was like giving us a list of stories, I'm like, I'm going to steer away from the cliche, like pick the one about the mum. And then the others were taken, and Travis was like, do you want to speak on this one? I was like, oh, fine. I'll speak about mum. But funnily enough, like, you know when you notice something once and then it comes up like everywhere? Like, has that ever happened to you? Like, so in my week this week, it's like Evan was talking about last week, all those like red strings going everywhere. Everything has been coming back to like the core of this passage. Even like stuff that's not in my control, like just going on everywhere, but it's like I've noticed this thing and everything is like coming up with that thing again. And it's pretty cool. So I won't spoil it. We'll start to read, and then I have a clicker thing which I've kind of forgotten I've got. So if I forget, Caleb's gonna help me out. So I've kind of labeled this mic drop. Now I feel like I'm a couple of years too late to be cool with that. Like, are they young people, do you still get what a mic drop is? No? Yeah, I'm old now. I'm an old person now. I have bunions and I have children, and now I'm really old. So if you don't know what a mic drop is, you might know one at the end. We'll see. So let's get into it. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 to 28. If you have a Bible, feel free to open it up. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. What is it that you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. When the other 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. I don't think I need to say much after that. So let's go back to the top of the story and we'll have a bit of a chat through. Jesus is walking with the disciples. Just before this, it says he's on his way to Jerusalem. And on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus pulls his disciples aside and he says, hey guys, when we get to Jerusalem, I'm going to be taken by the priests and the leaders of the temple. They're going to hand me over to the Gentiles. I'm going to be flogged and I'm going to die. And then, the next verse, James and John, they're a little bit more cautious this time. Last time they said, Jesus, do you want us to call down fire from heaven? And Jesus is like, no, don't do that. This time, they're like, well, we won't ask Jesus the stupid question directly. We're going to get our mum. Mummy, can you ask Jesus a favor for us? Anyway, mum comes along and she's probably going, well, you know, that seems reasonable, like, my sons have left everything that they own and know. They're supposed to be helping in their father's business. They've gone to follow Jesus. Jesus is the coming king. Well, Jesus owes them a place, right? So she says, okay, well, I'll ask that from Jesus for you. She comes to Jesus. She asks them if they can have the places of honor next to him in the kingdom. Now, Jesus doesn't rebuke her. He doesn't say, why are you asking me this? He doesn't say, that's a stupid question. Instead, he looks at her and he loves her. And he turns to James and John and he says, can you Can you do that? Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? I've just told you I'm going to be flogged. I'm going to die. Can you follow me into that? And then James and John come out with the most stupid line in the passage. We can, they answer. And again, Jesus doesn't go, you idiots. He just says, you will. You will. Whether you can or not, you will. But it's not mine to grant. Who sits there? Those places belong to my Father. So then we end that scene and we get to the next one. The other 10 hear about what James and John have asked. And they're indignant. But not because they think, James and John, you shouldn't ask that question. Don't you know that that's not the way the kingdom of heaven works? They're indignant because they want those spots. They're indignant because they want the honor and the status in the kingdom of heaven. They're still falling for this. I mean, Jesus has talked to them about this over and over and over again. If you were here this morning, you heard about the first will be last and the last will be first. Come like a little child. Jesus has talked about this status thing in the kingdom over and over and over again, and they still don't get it. So Jesus calls them together, and I think if I was Jesus at this point, I would have just like tore them a new one. But he doesn't do that either. He gives them this gentle and kind and really to the point teaching, and he says, you know, the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And that just captures everything that's going on in their hearts and just says, this is not the way of the kingdom of God. And I just want to step back from the story a little bit now and go, well, we've got this story, and in and of itself, it's amazing. And then we've got this next level where we've got Matthew, 30 years, 40 years after Jesus has died and rose again, he's sitting down to write this gospel, and he's put this story in here, and he's curated it in this special way. And I just wanted to have a quick look at why maybe he's done that. And this phrase that he puts at the end, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And I feel like he's put that in there as like the tattoo this line on your arm, write it on your doorpost. Like it's this phrase in Greek that is so tattooable. So, ouk diakonothenai, alla diakonesai. And it's that poetry there that you kind of lose in English a little bit. But they would have heard that and gone, that is like the line of a song. Like that is a line that's going to stick in your hearts. Like they're not all literate. They can't all read. They can't all write. But they're going to remember that. Not to be served, but to serve. And that is a total shift in what they would have understood in a kingdom. In a kingdom, the king sits at the top and his subjects serve him. But in the kingdom of God, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And I think for them that would have been a moment of what is that? So the next literary technique that I just wanted to take a moment to share with you, this whole passage actually comes down to two kind of sections, and these sections teach us something. The way that Matthew's written them down kind of points us and focuses us into the middle of this passage. And the trick, or the technique that he's used is called the chiasmus. And we actually use it a lot, whether it's in the Bible, like it's in the Bible a million times. We use it a ton in our own poetry. Lewis would know all about it in his spoken word because these are the things that actually sound good and they stick in our mind and we can remember them. So things like those that mind don't matter and those that matter don't mind. All for one and one for all. When the going gets tough, the tough gets going. And as we heard this morning, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And what that's trying to do for us is trying to help us remember, help us get this like sense of these things are related, they're important, and we're going to focus in on what's in the middle of that passage, what's in the middle of those things, as that's the point. So let's have a look at this verse in the knowledge of this chiasmus here. And you can kind of see, if you can see the colours that we've got there, these things relate to each other and they tell us something about what's going on. So the first section here, the mother of Zebedee's sons comes to Jesus, and what is it that you want? She's coming and wanting something. And then the last one, these places belong to the Father. So I want something, but they belong to someone else. Then it's got the next sort of layer. Grant that one of my two sons might sit at your right and the other at your left. To sit at my right and my left is not for me to grant. You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup? You will drink my cup. See how that's slightly shifted? Can you drink my cup? You will drink my cup. It's changed. And we're going to point to that. And then this very center of this structure, we can. And Matthew's pointing us to the fact that that is the core of the issue here. Can you? Can any of us? Are we able to do this calling that Jesus has put on us? And their answer is not correct. And Jesus knows that. That's why he says you will. He doesn't say you can. But how often do we do that? How often do we either come going, I'm going to do what I can do, or come going, oh, I couldn't possibly do that. That's too much for me. And I think both of those things are in line with this spirit of self-ableness. And that's what Jesus is getting at, is that we can't. We're not self-able, but thank God that he is able. Jesus brings it back to those places belong to whom they've been prepared by my Father. Jesus could have taken that power. He's the same essence as the Father. He had the power if he wanted it, but he chose to surrender that and give it to who it rightly belonged to, the Father. So scene two, it's basically the repeat of that same issue, isn't it? But it's got the whole group of disciples. When the other 10 heard about this, they were indignant. If you were here this morning, Adam talked about that fairness scale and where you might sit on that. Well, the disciples' fairness scale was like off the charts here. That's not fair. You can't take that position of authority because I want it. I'm better than you. I follow Jesus closer than you. I'm better at whatever. And they're having this argument. How dare you try and get ahead of me? So Jesus calls them all together, and instead of slapping them over the face, he comes with this. He says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles, and then if you think of that X pattern again, we come back to the Son of Man. So he's opposing himself. You know, the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Not so with you. And then this one actually repeats the center. Extra important. Whoever wants to be great must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. It's like he's bringing that same message that came from James and John's era, and he's bringing that to the whole group of disciples, and he's saying, don't be like that. Follow me instead. So what can we learn from that? Our first pattern is our not pattern. Not that we can. I can't repay that kind of love, as we're about to sing in the next song. I can't drink your cup. I can't do those things. Thank God that you can. Instead, whoever wants to be great must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. So instead of having that attitude of, I can do this, I want the power or the fame or the glory or the whatever it is. And instead of not trying, instead of not doing the things, instead of hiding our talents in the sand, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. So serve. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. And it's not just talking about doing the things of service or doing the things that, you know, are the jobs of a slave, but it's talking about actually taking that status, actually taking that position, not being the one who's saying, I want to be the best, I want to show off, I want to wear the nice clothes and I want people to think that I'm great, and not being the one that hides away because I'm not good enough or I can't possibly do that or I can't live up to that standard, but being that one who just takes that place of the servant and the slave because that's what our King does. The Son of Man did not come to be served but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He didn't come to rule it over them. He didn't come to exercise authority, even though he could, but he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So we're about to sing a new song. Some of you may have heard it already. I heard it for the first time this morning, and it was one of those things that just went, there's another string happening all over. But it's called Abandoned, and some of the lines in it is like, my one life endeavor to match your surrender. Completely, deeply, don't care who sees me abandoned. I surrender all. And I feel like that is the spirit of servanthood that Jesus is talking about here. That spirit of, I don't care who sees me, because it's not about that. It's about being a servant. It's about following Jesus. It's about abandoning my own sense of ego or justice or rightness, and it's about following Jesus and being abandoned to him. And then the bridge goes, all the failures I hide, all the victories I don't, consider it yours, Lord. The battles I fight, each crown that I hoard, consider it yours, Lord. And I feel like that was just the whole point of this passage, even though I only heard this song for the first time this morning. The point of this passage saying it's not about whether we are able, it's not about holding on to those victories, it's not about hiding those failures, it's about serving our King and the kingdom. And if that's the only thing that you can take away from tonight, then Matthew would be jumping up and down, because that's what he wanted when he said not to be served but to serve.
This has been a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people. To continue the conversation, we invite you to join us Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. or on our website at www.nvbc.info.